Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I am Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd. Todd is back with you on Monday. Yes, we have a lot planned for you. Grace did a yeoman's job planning out today's show. She did a wonderful, wonderful job. Starting out the last hour will be Liz Peek. She's with Fox News and The Hill. And, you know, we're going to talk to all things. She's up on all the news. We're going to have a great conversation with Liz. I'm looking forward to that. And then in half an hour from now, we'll be joined by Sebastian Gorka. And we have a lot to talk to him. I want to talk to him about Trump in 2024, Israel, Hamas. And I also want to talk to him about this. Let's just go here. So Vivek Ramaswamy, who, by the way, will be on this show on Monday with Todd. I really like him. Now, I also have had the opportunity to interview him, and I find him quite intriguing. I don't think he's ready for the presidency yet, but I do find him to be promising. Is he perfect? No. My husband's not perfect, but I married him anyway, right? You're not going to get perfect. I'm not perfect. I do things sometimes that I question myself. Later on, I go, what were you thinking? Like, you're an idiot, Mary. So you know, there's that going on. Anyway, so Vivek Ramaswamy went on CNN, and he was on with Abby Phillips, who, poor thing, she's in over her head at all times, at all times. And she's trying so hard. She's young, and she doesn't know how to interview someone. A lot of these hosts on MSNBC and CNN, etc. Remember, Jim Acosta? Remember him? They think that an interview is a debate. That's what they think is happening. It's not a debate. You're asking this person to find out information from them, to get their point of view. If it's an informational thing, you ask someone type of questions. If it's more of a point of view, a personal thing, you ask different types of questions. She just debates. That's what her thing is. But she also likes to silence. Now, we have a cut for you from yesterday with Vivek on with Abby Phillips. And Seb Gorka tweeted this out and said, witness the death of CNN, something like along those lines. And it was great because he really masterclassed Abby Phillips. Oh, that's what he said. He said, I'd like to report a murder. CNN is dead. So it's a longer clip, but we wanted you to be able to hear it in your entirety. Listen to how she tries to shut him down. She asks him a question, but when he starts to answer it in a way that she doesn't like, listen to what she does to him. But he knows it's coming. This man's no dummy.
You use the phrase.
And he handles it beautifully. Here we go. Sorry.
You use the phrase inside job to describe what happened on January 6th. The next day, Capitol rioter Alan Hostler highlighted your comments at his sentencing. He is going to prison for 11 years. Hostler threatened members of Congress. He brought a hatchet, knives, pepper spray, stun batons, tactical gear to the U.S. Capitol. Are you concerned that a convicted felon like that is now promoting your comments in court?
So here's my concern, Abby, and I want to tell you guys where I'm at. If you had told me, it's close to 3 years ago that January 6, 2021 happened. If you had told me 3 years ago, back when I was a biotech CEO, not steeped in this world, I was just consuming passive media but was focused on my world of developing medicines. If you had told me that January 6 was in any way an inside job, the subject of government entrapment, I would have told you that was crazy talk. fringe conspiracy theory nonsense. I can tell you now, having gone somewhat deep in this, it's not. I mean, the reality is this. We do have a government, first of all, we have to acknowledge that has lied to us systematically over the last several years about the origin of COVID-19, about the Hunter Biden laptop that we were told was false by 51 CIA experts and otherwise before we now know that it was true. You can go straight down the list, the Trump-Russia disinformation collusion hoax, all of it. Now we come to January 6th. The reality is we know that there were federal law enforcement agents in that field. We don't know how many. I think it's a shame. If I may finish just answering.
Well, let me I'm going to go ahead and interrupt you here because you're saying that there
establishment doesn't approve of this
message.
You're saying
that there were federal agents.
We should be able to talk about this.
You're saying that there were federal agents.
This is important to talk about.
You are saying there were federal agents in the crowd on January 6th.
Yep.
There is no evidence that there were federal agents in the crowd on January 6th.
So why, before Congress, when pressed on what the number was, they didn't say there were none. They just couldn't say how many there were.
So you're saying that there's no, that you have not seen any evidence that there were.
We've seen multiple informants suggesting that there were. We know people were FBI informants who were asked.
Is there any evidence?
May I just finish this and then you can come back and question me.
Well, let me clarify.
I know it's very uncomfortable for you.
I'm going to clarify my question.
I know this is an uncomfortable issue for many people, but we have to do the truth here.
I'm going to clarify my question because I want to make sure that you understand what I'm asking.
I understand this deeply. And I told you, I was with you 3 years ago. I'm not there now.
Where is the evidence?
Yes.
Where is the evidence that the government had a plot, an inside job?
But no, I'm going to tell you what inside job is. I'm not
violence on January 6th.
I'm not going to let you put words in my mouth. I'm going to put my words in my mouth. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that.
Where is the evidence that the government was involved
entrapment
in planning or executing January 6th?
So I'm going to give you hard facts. And if I may, Abby, I know this is going to be a little uncomfortable. But we're going to go through this, and you can push
just
back on it
for
after
the evidence.
And you can push back on that. And let's do this fairly. Why did they suppress footage of now what's been released, 200 hours of footage of shooting rubber bullets into that crowd, shooting tear gas into that crowd? You didn't see that before. You saw what the response was to that. Now you see footage coming out of actually rolling out the red carpet for Capitol Police allowing
Ramaswamy,
people in
again,
right through the front
the vast
door.
Vast majority
I mean,
of
that
footage
video evidence should have been released
shows,
before, Abby.
Mr. Ramaswamy, the vast majority
been released
of the
before.
Footage shows
and my deeper
police
question
officers
is this.
Being overrun
and I want to talk about one more
by
case.
Violent
this is really important.
Rioters.
That's yeah, I'm going to give you some hard facts.
Of it shows.
So what? Here's what entrapment
you can't
is.
Cherry pick.
I'm not cherry picking. If I may finish, Abby.
Examples.
To the contrary, you know who cherry-picked
examples?
You know who cherry-picked the government?
That is what happened.
The government cherry-picked 12 hours of footage when there was 200 hours of footage. The cherry-picking was the government, not me. Release the whole thing. And let me just finish one thing, too, because this is super important as a topic.
I think
this is a civil libertarian issue of our time.
When
Gretchen Whitmer's kidnapping. I want to be really clear on this, because it's the same issue in the same FBI, same even part of the FBI. Three people who were in an alleged plot to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer were acquitted at the end of trial. Because it was entrapment. That is, government agents put them up to do something they otherwise wouldn't have done. They gave them credit cards with spending limits of up to $5,000, encouraged them to buy munitions, plan something they weren't otherwise willing to plan. So much so, and I want people at home to know this, especially CNN viewers to know this, is that one of the jurors went to those defendants and apologized afterwards, gave him a hug, apologized, seeing what the government had put a poor guy up to, who had to go to some Mexican restaurant across the street to get hot water. These people were exploited with credit cards up to $5,000, FBI agents putting them up to a kidnapping plot that we were told was true but was entrapment.
14,
same thing with the Capitol Police. People
Mr.
letting them
Ramaswamy,
in freely. Many of those people
Mr.
then being
Mr. Ramaswamy,
charged.
Look,
the government cannot put you up
I
to do something and then
Mr.
charge
Ramaswamy,
you for it.
Look,
that's wrong.
I don't want to have
wrong
to.
Wrong to the left or right.
I don't want to have to.
Yeah, so she tried her hardest. You know that there was, because she has her earpiece in, and you know there was a producer going, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down, stop this, because they didn't want that out there. They don't want that out there because CNN was the one, you know, they've always been the ones to proclaim the hoax the loudest as being truth, right? The laptop, all those things that Ramaswamy mentioned there. And now... the apology and the walk back is always on, you know, the last page or at the very end of the show, just a little addendum or just before we go to a break, that kind of thing. So I give him a lot of credit. He just kept going. He knew exactly what she was trying to do. But they don't want the truth out there. They are so hell-bent. I don't know whether CNN, MSNBC, etc. are so hell-bent on just protecting the Democrats. I don't know why. I'm not quite sure what that's about. If they truly believe this, that if they're why the synapses don't connect in their brains when they put something out there that's false, and then they find out later you've been lied to. I think for most of us, that would be shocking, right? That's something that we would be upset about. I got lied to. But that doesn't seem to happen. So we're going to talk to Seb Gorka about that coming up. Oh, he's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And, you know, what is going on? And you know, how Vivek just had to just go through, just shut her down and just talk over her in order to even get any kind of message out there. Now, there were people applauding in the audience, which I thought was interesting for a CNN audience. But I'm willing to bet there were some people sitting there in that audience who didn't know about the outcome of the Gretchen Whitmer trial, who had no idea because CNN didn't inform them. And that's all they do, is that's all they watch all day long. I know people like this, and they're on both sides, which is why when I host this show or any other show that I host, I always encourage people to call in, to reach out to me on X, you know, send your comments. You can challenge me. That's fine. We have to be respectful. There's no name calling. You have to engage like an adult. And you can disagree with me, and I'm open to that because maybe I'll learn something. Maybe you'll learn something. You know, maybe there'll be some exchange of ideas that someone else will learn something from. But if you don't open your brain and you do what Abby Phillips did, which is la, 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 I don't want to hear it, and you put your fingers in your ears and hum, you're doing yourself a disservice. So kudos to Vivek for that. He will be on the show on Monday. And we're going to talk to Sebastian Gorka coming up about this more, about 20 minutes here. I'm Mary Walter, and you're listening to The Todd Stern Show. And welcome back to The Todd Stern Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd. Todd is back with you on Monday. If you want to join me, it's 901-260-5926. And you can also reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. So, as I said, we've got Seb Gorka coming up. I also wanted to share this with you. There's actually some good news. You ready? This comes from the Immigration Reform Law Institute. Now, listen to this. They released a memo. Now, this memo was came out of June of 2017, and the IRLI, the Immigration Reform Law Institute, got it because after a FOIA request. They had to get a FOIA request to get this memo. And according to this, it's an internal memo from the Department of Homeland Security. And it was done. It's from then Acting Customs and Border Protection, the CBP Commissioner, Kevin McAleenan. According to our IRLI officials, the internal memo examined 25 areas at the border and ultimately recommended the construction of a border wall in every area. Further, a border wall was found to be the most cost-effective tool for DHS to deter illegal immigration. Now, remember, the left tells us that it's going to be that walls are racist and walls are ineffective. And then they'll show a picture where, you know, the cartels have literally taken, you know, they've taken out a piece of the wall because no one cares if they do, just to create a hole in it for people to get through. The report states for every area of the Southwest border examined, the audit determined that a physical barrier was not only the best option for disrupting irregular migration, but also the most cost effective. Remember, this administration keeps telling us that it's not cost effective, and they let all of that, the border wall, all of that Trump didn't get to finish, they let it rot in the desert, and then they sold it off for pennies on the dollar at a loss. And this is comparing, it's more cost effective as compared to alternatives such as electronic sensors. This is vindication to those who were disparaged by this administration for their support of physical barriers at the border, according to the IRLI executive director, Dale Wilcox. While Biden canceled all border wall construction immediately after taking office in January 21, his administration has planned to build an additional wall in Starr County, Texas, due to waves of illegal immigration in the region. During former President Trump's tenure, they built about 350 miles of border wall. 80 miles were built in places along the border where there was no prior barrier. The remaining 290 miles were built to replace old barriers. We now know, because of what's happened at the border, the overwhelming majority of Americans now support a border wall. And we have a 2,000-mile-long southern border. 60% of it has no physical barrier separating U.S. from Mexico. I can't be. I cannot be. Mm-mm-mm. But I thought I'd bring you some good news, though. At least Trump was right. We're right. We're not crazy. Walls aren't racist. And they are more cost-effective than electronic monitoring. Because what happens when the grid goes down? All the electronic monitoring goes down with it. And so all the cartels have to do is take down the electric grid or disable it in a certain area and flood everybody through. All right, let's go to the phones quickly. 901-260-5926. I see Joe out of Georgia, friend of the show, is with us. I'm honored, Joe. Thank you for joining me.
Mary, it's a great honor to be on the Todd Starn Show. You do a great job. I just want to predict on this great national show that Donald Trump will be elected in a landslide, and the stock market, as you know, is at an all-time high this week. And I think the stock market hitting an all-time high and Donald Trump being such a great leader that he'll have a landslide win, and your talk show will help that happen. So I'm fired up and energized for a big Donald Trump victory.
I pray you're right, Joe, but I got to tell you, I got my hopes up in 2020. So in 2016, I was like, Trump's going to lose. Hillary's going to win. Trump's going to lose. It was one of the most joyous nights of my entire life. I will remember that. I will be sitting drooling in a nursing home somewhere and have no idea what my name is, but I will remember election night 2016, right? So forever. But 2020, we did a caravan on the New Jersey Turnpike, true blue New Jersey of all places, excuse me, the Garden State Parkway. It was jammed. I thought for sure Trump's going to win. And then, boom, hopes dashed. So I'm not getting my hopes up. I got to tell you, I don't want that feeling again in 24. I'd rather have the feeling of 2016 again. So I'm not getting my hopes up just in case.
There, we're going to do it. I'm fired up and energized. People down here in Georgia, everybody I'm talking to is for Trump. So I feel like we're going to have a great win. We're going to have a great economy, a great stock market. So I'm fired up, and appreciate you substituting for Todd. You're very good.
Thank you so much. And Joe, you better straighten out that election system you got going on down there in Georgia, and better work those bugs out, or we're going to have a problem with the Georgia elections again. And that's what I fear. I fear some of these states. They got a lot of hinky stuff going on in their elections, and dead people on the rolls and all that kind of stuff. It all needs to be cleaned up before 2024. It really does. Thank you, Joe. Have a wonderful. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Joe. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. All right. I got time for a real quick one here. Do I take this call on line one or not? Yes? No? Somebody? All right. Let's see who this is calling in. Hello?
Hi, my name is Walter.
Hello, Walter. How are you?
Good. Hey, how come you haven't been talking about the Rudy Giuliani case? Because he found all that evidence of wrongdoing in the election. How come he's getting hammered in court?
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't call any witnesses. It's a great question. I don't know. That's not the call that I thought it was going to be. All right, that was disappointing. Sorry. Seb Gorka coming up next. Not disappointing at all on the Todd Starn Show. Do we have Seb? Hey, welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. I am Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. And I forgot, it is Free for All Friday. My bad. Totally forgot about that. I know. How could I forget? 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926 is the number. And you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. Okay. Joining us now, great guy, Sebastian Gorka, host of America First with Sebastian Gorka. Find him on X at Seb Gorka. Seb, welcome to the show. I have not spoken to you in so long. How are you?
Well, that's what happens when you desert us and you run away from the swamp. What do you expect, Mary? I can't even get you to guest host on my show because you just leave us.
Ask me. I'm more than happy to. More than happy to.
You can't do it because we have a TV show as well. It's all on video. You got to be in studio, my dear. I mean, this isn't just radio. We do the pictures, too, the moving pictures.
See, now Todd does the moving pictures, too, but when he is guest host, they don't do the moving pictures, see? You could just put a picture of me up, like on a stick.
What, like real fake news? Hi, this is Mary.
Right. Honestly, but you still have the audio, just the audio, but like a big picture of just my head.
All right, don't tempt me.
I think it would be hilarious. Now that I have you, there's so many questions I want to ask you. First of all, we see that Kevin McCarthy said that he would serve in Trump's cabinet. He was asked that question, and he said, I believe in public service. He has had quite an up-and-down relationship with Donald Trump. My question is, would you serve again?
Well, you have to. I mean, if you're asked, and President Trump has made it pretty clear that who he expects back in. It's not just an honor, it's an obligation. So, yes, absolutely.
I'm so jealous. I think that that's wonderful. I would work for free for that man. I really would, just because I so believe in what he did for this country when he was president. Let me ask you, they're bound and determined to jail him, and I think they're going to get a conviction somewhere along the line, especially in the D.C. circuit. I think, you know, Engoron is going to overplay his hand. That's going to go to the Supreme Court, the New York case with Letitia James. That's a joke. But I do think somewhere in D.C. there is going to be a conviction. And he is going to be sentenced to jail time somewhere along the line. How do they jail this man? Does he go to jail with his Secret Service protection? Do they clear out a wing of the jail? How does that work?
I don't think we need to go there yet. The fact that the Supreme Court decided 2 days ago to hear the 1312 statute and the presidential immunity plea, that's huge. I mean, it not only does that, if the Supreme Court deems that the Enron obstruction official proceedings charge, which was designed to stop people shredding documents, cannot be applied to January 6th, not only do 320 January 6th cases that have already been prosecuted and sent people to prison collapse, basically Jack Smith, his case collapses as well, especially if they deem that, presidential immunity applies to everything a president does in office. And by the way, on January 6th, President Trump was in office. So I wouldn't be so sure that the Democrats are going to get what they want. Why? Because right now, thanks to President Trump, we have a majority of normal people on the Supreme Court, not pro-abortion, redefine the Constitution lunatics.
Absolutely. And I am not a Mitch McConnell fan, but I will give him credit for what he did with getting judges through and appointed in this country on all levels. He did a great job with that. And I got to give credit where credit is due. And you're right. And all that being said,
he's still one of the worst swamp creatures out there. So just because, you know, somebody, you know, pets a dog once a day doesn't mean they're a good person. So, yeah, Mr. McConnell, you know, but he's still an absolute bloody swamp dweller.
Oh, he absolutely is. But again, I'm just happy that he got the justices and judges all over the country through with the speed with which he did that. So what you're talking about, yes, I have hope in the Supreme Court and I have hope of them ruling the proper way. The people who went to prison, those 300 and some odd January 6th defendants who were railroaded, and it was disgusting what they did to them. Where do they go to get their life back? Can they sue? I mean, do they have any recourse whatsoever that you know of? I know you're not a lawyer.
Well, sadly, we do have this situation legally that government officials, officers of the court, prosecutors basically have immunity. So you can't really sue individuals for wrongful prosecution, or it is incredibly hard to do so unless you can prove that is malice under the color of law. However, I think the president has made it clear that he will pardon all of the people who were wrongfully prosecuted. And I would expect, if God willing, we do have part and President Trump is back in office, we will see some very serious financial compensation for these individuals, in addition to the vacation of the charges and the prison time being vacated. You can't give people their life back in terms of the time they spent in solitary in the D.C. gulag, but they will be recognized to have been political prisoners.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another reason I want him in, is because I really think he's going to do the right thing. I really have hope. He did that the first time around. He really did the right thing in so many instances. Is he perfect? No. No, nobody's perfect. And did he make mistakes? Sure, of course. But he did. I really think his heart was in the right place. One of the things I want to talk to you about is, I saw you posted today that you were part of the journalists yesterday who got to see the unedited 45-minute video of what happened on October 7th in Israel at the hands of Hamas. And it is a horrific video. I personally never want to see it. I could not stomach watching it. You put out a very powerful statement, and I wanted to let you explain what you saw. I know Chris Cuomo, he's a lefty, and he came out of there shaking, and he talked about it as well. So it's a very, very powerful video. Tell everybody what you saw and how it affected you.
Well, I saw 47 minutes worth of body cam footage and cell phone footage from the Hamas terrorists of the slaughter of the innocents on October the 7th. And look, in a past life before I joined the administration, my job was to study the propaganda of the jihadis and to teach our law enforcement, military, and intelligence analysts who the enemy is, what Al-Qaeda does and what ISIS does. And, I watched the beheading of Daniel Pearl, the video of the Jordanian fighter pilot burnt alive in that cage, the original versions, the full versions. And even that didn't prepare me. When you see two little boys in their underpants being scooped up by their father, trying to hide from the terrorists as the terrorists throw a hand grenade into the building, killing the father outright, turning one of the little boy's eye sockets into a black hole and blasting his eye out, and the children are screaming, "They killed my father, they killed my father," as the Hamas terrorist coolly walks over to the fridge and pulls out a bottle of soda and starts drinking as the boys are bleeding there in the kitchen. Or two young women at that Nova Pop Festival filming themselves hiding inside one of those little plastic portable toilets as Hamas terrorists fire their AK through the door and kill the girls. Or, I mean, I can go on and on and on, but perhaps this is the one that maybe everyone listening can relate to. The dozens of little babies' bodies I saw, one of which the face was unrecognizable, it had been stomped on, it had been blackened, but you could still see very clearly in the close-up the little cute Mickey Mouse pajamas she was wearing. So after seeing that, we had members of Congress who had to walk out of it. They couldn't sit for the full viewing. I just recorded a 50-second video as I was walking out of Congress, and I said, "I've got one message to Bibi, to the IDF, and the people of Israel: kill them all. Kill all of those bastards, all the baby murderers, the rapists, send them all to hell from whence they came."
Yeah, it was a very powerful video that you put out there. It was short and it was like it was just so powerful. I was so glad we were speaking with you today. Is all of Congress required to watch this, or are people choosing to watch it? Because, people who need to see it, and I'm thinking of the squad, don't seem to be lining up to view this. And I think it would probably make an impression even on them. I could be wrong, but I think it would make an impression on them.
No, the squad, I mean, the squad is incapable. These harridans, these witches are incapable of saying that what happened on October the 7th was wrong and that Israel has a right to exist. They haven't even said that yet. So, no, I want to say thank you to the Republican Jewish Coalition for inviting me This happened in Congress, but was not organized by Congress. And, of course, the footage was provided by officers from the Israeli embassy here in D.C.
Yeah. I want to also discuss about a tweet you put out yesterday. You put out the video of Vivek Ramaswamy with Abby Phillips on CNN. And I loved it. You just said, I'd like to report a murder. CNN is dead. And we played it in anticipation of you coming on. I played it earlier so the audience could hear it in its entirety. And it was so perfect. Vivek, I think, handled Abby Phillips beautifully. He just kept going. He just kept going and just kept going. And he was actually getting applause from the audience. CNN is, you know, they're trying so hard to just keep with the propaganda. But I guess my question to you is this something that they just can't keep in the box? The truth now is starting to come out in so many things. And first it was just, you know, the laptop is real, or it was, you know, the Russian hoax. Then it was the laptop is real. There's too many holes in the dike now that they have to keep plugging. So have we hit the tipping point where now the truth is finally starting to come out of everything that's been going on?
I think so. When you see the fact that the Biden crime cartel is having to change their story every single day, that, no, I didn't know anything about my son's business interests. No, my business partners. No, I met with them, but I didn't discuss business. And then if you watch very carefully the wording of what Hunter said in that very odd press statement from Congress, or the steps of Congress, he said, my father was not financially involved.
Yes.
Then you see the narrative is collapsing, and the information warrior halls like CNN, they just, people see through them. Look, let's be clear. I have a national radio show, which has only been going, it'll be 5 years in January. We have 3.5 million listeners just for my little radio show on Salem. CNN, on a good night today, has less than 600,000 viewers. That tells you everything you need to know, Mary.
But I really thought they turned the corner. You know, they said, you know, we're going to become more balanced. And of course, the idiots running the asylum rose up against them, right? And said, no, we want to stay in this little echo chamber, and they're dying. But when I see people, I think what Trump has done, to bring it back to Trump, what he has done is he's shown the right how to fight. And that is one of my biggest problems with the right, is they don't know how to message and they don't know how to fight. I want to have little bracelets made up to give to every member of Congress that say WWND. What would Nancy do? And I want them to wake up every morning and think about, huh, how would Nancy Pelosi handle this? And then do exactly what Nancy would do. Because Nancy Pelosi is a fighter. And she and Trump were very much matched when it came to battle. It was very, very interesting to sit back and watch the two of them go at it, because they're both experts at what they do. And to me, that was fascinating. Republicans don't know how to do that. But then you get like the Ron DeSantis, you get Vivek Ramaswamy, you get Elise Stefanik and others who learned, I think, from Donald Trump on how to fight the left and how to fight the messaging. And that's what I'm looking forward to under a Trump presidency, is more of that and more handling of that. What do you think President Trump will do differently when he wins in 2024, when he comes into office? I think he was very trusting of the swamp. He was very trusting of people just doing their jobs and what they were supposed to do. I'm sure he's learned a very powerful lesson. What do you think he's going to do differently this time around?
Well, first things first, it's not that, you know, he taught us how to fight. He told us and showed us that you can fight. But let's be clear, when I was in the White House, and even after I left the White House, I publicly stated that President Trump won despite the GOP, not thanks to the GOP. They just don't fight. We have cowards, rhinos, swamp dwellers, and people who just do not fight at all. President Trump told us, this is, if you love America, you have to fight. And number two, what will he do differently? Look, you're not going to teach a 77-year-old man to do things significantly differently, but there's just going to be more of it. We had saboteurs, fifth columnists at the highest level of the administration, from, you know, not just the Vindmans of the world, but to the John Kellys, to the John Boltons. That cannot be allowed to happen again. It's my greatest concern. I've discussed this with the president at length, If we do our part, God willing, we get him reelected. But the first thing we have to do differently is, as Reagan taught us, personnel, 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 because personnel is policy. Yeah. And then, you know, double-fisted with two flamethrowers, he comes back like a berserker and he burns down with flamethrowers every stinking piece of corruption in this city. That's what 2025 is going to be like for the next 4 years.
Well, you've given me hope, Seb. I have to tell you, we had a caller and I was just like, I'm just going to walk into 2024 the way I walked into 2016, thinking that Trump's going to lose, because that night, election night 2016, as I said earlier, is one of my most memorable nights ever. I said, I'll be in a nursing home drooling and I won't know my name, but I'm going to remember that night forever. So I want that again, another happiest night of my life moment. And I'm really hoping that we get it this time around. Thank you so much, Seb. Great to talk to you. Please tell your lovely wife that I said Merry Christmas to both of you. And if you ever decide to just put up like a big picture of me, you know, that's fine. I'm more than happy to do the show.
I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you on your, and bless the half. Please check out all my social media, my Substack, Seb Gorka, the Rumble, and the latest book is The War for America's Soul.
The War. Okay, I did. Thank you for telling me that, because I didn't realize you had a new book out. So yeah, so check it out. All of Seb's books are great, and his, and you can catch him also on America First with Sebastian Gorka. Thank you so much. Have a great new year. 901-260-5926. I'm going to get to your calls coming up on the Todd Starn Show. Hey, welcome back. It is Free For All Friday. I'm Mary Welter in for Todd Starnes. Let's get a quick call in here. Fish from Kansas listening on KQAM 1480. And he wants to know about Ukraine. All right, Fish, welcome to Friday. It's Fish on Friday. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hanging.
Go ahead. What do you want to? What do you want to talk about?
But you got what I was asking about, didn't you?
Yeah, Fish wants to know how Ukraine money affects our border security. So let me explain it to you right now. Chuck Schumer actually called back the Senate. They're actually think they're close to a deal. The thing is Republicans want our border secured just as much as we're paying to secure Ukraine's border. Right. We're spending billions and billions of dollars to secure Ukraine's border from the Russians. Right. But we're not spending any money to secure our border. So that's how they tie together. See, look at that. Super easy. Perfect timing, Fish. Have a wonderful Christmas and a great new year. More coming up. I'm Mary Welter. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I am Mary Welter in for Todd Starnes on this Friday with you. And it is a free-for-all Friday. If you would like to join me, 901-260-5926. You can also reach out to me on X at Mary Welter Radio. I do have a podcast, by the way. Yes, on Tuesdays, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. You can, if you watch live on YouTube or Getter, just search for Mary Welter Radio. Just put that right in your search on YouTube or Getter. You can watch live and you can participate. You can leave comments. Comments, we can put them up on the screen. We react to them. We answer questions. You can ask questions. You can make read your comments. And the one and only Grace Baker was our guest 2 weeks ago. So if you go to YouTube and hit the live tab, you will see Grace's smiling face and you can watch Grace's time with us. We spent a lot of time talking about the Todd Starnes Show, talking about what happens in the background, what it's like to do her job, what goes into making a show like this come together. We had a lot of fun with it. Also, there's a bunch of other videos there, other guests, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, James Rosen, Cal Thomas. There's a bunch of them. So feel free to peruse through there. Please subscribe. Please like the videos as well. And you can also get the audio if you don't have time to sit there. You'd rather listen. You can listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Again, just search for Mary Walter Radio, and they're all there. So please check us out on Tuesday. I'm going to try to get Todd on. Todd has to find a Tuesday when he's available to do the show, because I want him to do it live so you guys can ask questions and jump in. So Todd is my next guest I'm trying to get. So, all right. Let's go here. Let's talk about this. This really caught my attention. I think it's going to catch your attention too. The largest pharmacy chains in the U.S. have been caught providing patient prescription records to law enforcement upon request without requiring a warrant. HIPAA. When I go into I go to get a blood test and they want to know if I've traveled outside the country in the last year. If so, what countries have I gone to? All this other stuff. They want my picture. But we're told, all the time, don't worry about it. I knew once the federal government got its hand on our medical records, it wasn't going to be safe. Everyone was going to know every drug you're on. They're going to know everything about you. And sure enough. Now, the discovery was made through a probe of pharmacies' privacy practices that was launched by congressional Democrats in June because they were concerned over health privacy and surveillance after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. They were worried that maybe states where abortion is now criminalized, in their words, you're not allowed to kill your baby, may request pharmacy records to confirm whether a woman is prescribed a medication like the abortion pill. All right. So they're worried about that. So Senator Ron Wyden, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, and Sarah Jacobs are now urging Health and Human Services to tighten it up. Yes. Under HIPAA, to end the warrantless release of medical records by pharmacies. I think this is a no-brainer. I think everybody should be on board with this. The nation's seven largest pharmacy chains, CVS Health, Walgreens, Cigna, Optum, Walmart, the Kroger Company, Rite Aid, all participated in the briefings along with Amazon Pharmacy. All of them admitted to sharing records with law enforcement without requiring a warrant. And most do not alert customers to these demands despite being legally permitted to do so. So they can, they just haven't. Five of them, Amazon, Cigna, Optum, Walmart, and Walgreens, said they do require legal professionals to review the request before responding to law enforcement's demands. CVS, Kroger, and Rite Aid, quote, indicated that their pharmacy staff face extreme pressure to immediately respond to law enforcement demands, and as such, the companies instruct their staff to process those requests in the store. So, okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. CVS said in a statement that its processes are consistent with HIPAA and said, we have suggested a warrant or judge-issued subpoena requirement be considered, and we look forward to working cooperatively with Congress to strengthen patient privacy protections. Yes, you should need a warrant to find out what prescriptions I'm on. I should be accused of a crime before you have the right to my health records, right? Am I wrong? Maybe I'm just a little crazy. There's a lot of people are like, well, if you have nothing to hide, why do you care? I care. I don't have anything to hide. It's just my stuff. Get out. Get out. Just like I don't want you in my home snooping around. Get out. Walgreens said the company has a process in place to assess all law enforcement requests for records that is compliant with HIPAA and other applicable laws. And they say they look forward to working with Congress on bolstering privacy protections. In other words, Congress, you better pass some laws because otherwise we're going to do whatever we want. Pretty much what's happening here. Amazon said it cooperates with law enforcement and complies with court orders when required by law. And Amazon Pharmacy notifies a customer prior to disclosing health information to law enforcement as long as there is no legal prohibition to doing so. So if you're part of Amazon Pharmacy, then they'll at least tell you that they gave your records to law enforcement after the fact. So, by the way, the government knows everything you're taking. So there you go. Just thought we'd let you know. The company also said requests from law enforcement are rare and represent a very small percentage of the prescriptions we file for customers. I don't care. I don't care if it's one a year. That's one too many. Shouldn't be doing it. No. No information for you. All right, more health news. Pat, I'll get to you. Hang on there. I just wanted to go through some of this health news here because some of it I think you'll find interesting. So after the pandemic, we got fat and lazy, which I don't think is a surprise, right? But we never got rid of our sloth-like intentions and habits that we acquired during COVID. I see it all the time, especially young people out and about in pajama bottoms and slippers. And now I see older women, especially in slippers. Why are you wearing slippers to the store? What is that about? Just because your slipper has a hard sole on it doesn't mean that you're supposed to wear it to the grocery store. It's a slipper. It's for the house. I mean, what time does it matter? I don't know. It just looks slovenly. Like getting out of bed and actually putting on different pants was too hard for you today. Really? I don't know. It just shows to me no respect. There's no respect for, when you don't have respect for yourself, you don't have respect for other people. I don't know. They just look like life's so hard. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting really old. I see people in the grocery store in pajama bottoms. I'm like, seriously? Like I have, you know, pajama bottoms that are like fleece pants, comfy fleece, like loungewear pants. Those are really comfy in the winter. Like I'll wear them to walk down to get the mail. Or the garbage cans. But I don't leave my property in them. Now, if I get invited to a friend's house, like I'm having a brunch on Sunday, and it's a bunch of girls. So I told them, ooh, bring your pajama bottoms. Like if you want to, you know, wear comfy pajama pants or whatever, that's fine. But I'm pretty sure people are going to change here. Or if they're stopping somewhere else. If I'm not stopping somewhere, they may just drive down or drive like that. That's fine. But I don't leave the confines of my home in that stuff. The percentage of U.S. adults whom Gallup classifies as obese has reached an estimated 38.4%, up 6 percentage points since 2019. We never stopped eating. All that binge eating everyone was doing during COVID in the beginning and drinking the wine and woohoo, it was a big party. It never stopped, apparently. A new high of 13.6% of respondents say they've been diagnosed by a medical professional with diabetes. Way to go, people. Way to go. The increase in obesity since 2019 varies by age. The largest age group that got obese, 45 to 64. And also 30 to 44. So basically, 30 to 64. I got the most obese. That's pretty much a good chunk of the population. I'd say that's the majority of the population got obese since COVID, up 8.2 points. Adults under the age of 30 have not seen a significant increase. We're not eating healthy anymore. We stopped eating healthy. We're eating healthier before COVID. We're not eating healthy anymore. We're not eating fruits and vegetables anymore, and on and on and on. And cholesterol is up to people with high cholesterol are now up to 25% of the population. We're all going to be on Crestor. Okay, more health news. There is a new blood test out for Alzheimer's that could hit the market in early of this coming year. It's from Resonant. And they say the new test achieved 100% accuracy in identifying patients with Alzheimer's and individuals with mild cognitive impairment who then went on to develop Alzheimer's within 5 years. So this is a big deal. But here's the problem with this. So this test, if you're diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, so you're like, you know what, I'm forgetting a lot of stuff, I'm going to go get this test because I think I got a little Alzheimer's thing going on here or something's going on, and you go get the test, you'll find out from this test that you're probably, if you have this, you're probably going to develop Alzheimer's in the next 5 years. I don't want to know. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no cure for Alzheimer's. There's no medication that's going to stop this. Would you want to know that? 901-260-5926. Now you're saying, oh, I want to go play with the grandkids. I want to do stuff and do this and that. Okay. But once Alzheimer's kicks in, you're not going to remember all that stuff you did. You know, maybe your grandchildren and your kids will have some time with you, that kind of thing. But if I have a disease like that, I don't think I'd want to know. it's kind of like knowing that you have a form of cancer for which, like a glioblastoma, which is in your brain. And it's almost always, I don't even know if anyone has ever recovered from a glioblastoma. I think it's just always a death sentence. Or ALS, you know, it's another thing. No, thank you. I don't want to know that in advance. Because I think it's going to alter how you live your life so much that I don't know if it's necessarily going to be for the good. 901-260-5926. And there's another blood test that they're working on, not looking at an imminent release like the Alzheimer's test, that may predict which organs in your body are aging faster than normal. Now, the good thing about that is there are things you can do then to address that and slow down the aging of like your spleen or your heart or whatever. They have the ability. They're looking at this test for the heart, the brain, kidney, liver, pancreas, lung, intestines, immune system, and tissues in general. So, excuse me, that's actually promising because there are things then you can do. It's like if there was a cure for Alzheimer's or something that you could take to prevent it before the onset of it, the Alzheimer's test is great to me. But not if there's no options. I'm not ready for that. 901-260-5926. I don't know, maybe you would want to know. You can also reach out to me on Twitter @MaryWalterRadio. All right, we got some calls coming up on Free for All Friday on the Todd Starn Show. Hey, welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. It is Free for All Friday. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd, 901-260-5926. All right, it is all about you. Let's start with Lisa in Pennsylvania, listening on 97.7. Lisa, welcome to the Todd Starn Show. Hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing good. You want to talk about the Alzheimer's test?
Yes. My grandmother had Alzheimer's, and it was rough. If they had had something back then that would have told us 5 years before it was, you know, happened, we could have been prepared better. And if I had a chance to do that, I would take the test. That way my family and my loved ones would be prepared for what I would end up with.
Would you live your life differently if you knew that?
I don't know. Maybe. A little bit, you know. I'd do more and enjoy more and things.
And, okay.
You know, spend time with my loved ones, but, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's one of those things that I wish I had more time with my grandmother while she remembered me.
Right. It's hard to watch that decline. My grandfather had a form of dementia. I don't know whether he had Alzheimer's or not. And it was hard. And every now and then, the hardest part of it is he would have lucid moments and realize, like all of a sudden, they're awake almost. And I'm sure you saw that with your grandmother. All of a sudden, they're awake. And you're like, oh, and you're all excited. And they're all excited, but it's kind of scary to them.
Yeah.
And then they're gone again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, and my mother's 83 years old, and, you know, she has moments that, I mean, I know it's, I don't believe that it's Alzheimer's, but she has moments that she forgets sometimes, and it's scary.
Yeah. You wonder if it's hereditary, right? I know that feeling. Lisa, thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday, and thank you for listening to the Todd Starn Show. Let's head to Pat on WSIC in North Carolina. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? My Jersey friend here.
Yay. Oh, but you made it. You escaped to North Carolina.
I jumped over the wall there. And let me tell you something. You have to calm down. You act just like me. When 2016, we were drinking champagne at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes!
We were partying. We were partying big time 2016. 2020... we should have been partying again. But I'm going to tell you something. I think you better calm down about this.
Okay.
I was the same way. I was crazy. I'm like, what happened? He was winning. He was doing so good. I fell asleep. My daughter woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. She's like, the president is, I'm like, Donald Trump won. She goes, no. I'm like, what? Did you? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't want to do that again. That's why I'm very good at denial. So I'm going to just go into this assuming that Trump's losing and that's just the way it is.
Mary, there's a reason why he lost. God stepped in. I believe, I'm not kidding. People can laugh at me all they want. He intervened. He threw a wrench in it. Nobody's going to be happy about this outcome, but in a couple of years you will be, because all the junk is starting to come out on the Biden.
Well, that's true. And as far as I don't laugh at you for that, because since you're from New Jersey, you'll understand this. This is probably a Jersey, New York, Philly thing, maybe Boston. But during 2016, we were at our neighbor's house, and the woman who lives there, her godmother, Frances, was there and broke out the rosary, and we all had to say the rosary and St. Michael. So I get you on that one.
Right. But I'm telling you, I believe there's a reason why Donald Trump lost. There's a reason for it. There's a reason. None of this would have came out. And I'm going to tell you who's going to take that family down. You know who's going to take that family down? Hunter's going to take that family down.
I hope so, but I will say that I'm skeptical. I do believe things play out the way they're supposed to play out. It's out of my hands. You know, I can only do so much, but I am skeptical, because I just think right now the justice system in this country is so corrupt and so
got the main guy, Mary. We got the guy upstairs. This is on our side.
Yeah, no, I know. I pray to St. Michael every day. I got him on speed dial.
So calm down. I love you, and you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And
thank you, Pat. You too. And I'll get to talk to you hopefully in the new year. Thank you so much. I needed that. Thank you. All right, we've got a lot more coming up. More of your calls. Don't go anywhere if you're on hold. I promise I will get to you next here on the Todd Starn Show. Chosen music. I can tell that Chuck chose this music. Great music, Chuck. Mary Walter is sitting in for Todd Starnes. Joining us in half an hour, Liz Peek will be with us. Yes, to talk to Liz about everything. Liz has some great columns out we're going to discuss, as well as some news stories we're going to discuss as well. Also, did you know you're doing your shopping. I don't know about you, but there are some things that I'm so comfortable shopping from home from. And one of them is MyPillow products. I've done it. MyPillow is excited to bring you, now get this, their biggest bedding sale ever, and just in time for Christmas. Now, for a limited time, you can get those incredible Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. And I will tell you, it is worth every penny. This is a hand-to-God true testimony. We have a bed that's just miserable. It's a guest bed, and we had to sleep in it one night. And I said to my husband, I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. So we got a MyPillow mattress topper, and it's fantastic. Totally worth every penny. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes and colors and styles, and they have blankets for your pets even. You can get duvets and quilts and down comforters and body pillows and bolster pillows and so much more, all with the biggest discounts of the year happening right now. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st of 2024, making them the perfect gift for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506. You'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. And get all your shopping done now while quantities last. It's so easy to do. That's one thing I do love that. Okay. Let's go back to the call, shall we? 901-260-5926 is the number. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio if you want to leave comments there as well. I will try to multitask. Let's go to Arizona. Cade, who's listening online, streaming. Cade, you're on the Todd Starn Show. Thanks for hanging on.
Hi, Mary. I wanted to comment on the Hunter Biden indictment, but I also wanted to ask, a prior caller had a good question for you. why is Rudy getting hammered in court when all he did was tell the truth about all the election rigging going on? Why is he going to go to jail?
I don't know. I didn't pay close attention. I got to admit, I didn't pay close attention to that trial. I heard, I did see where he didn't call any witnesses. So I don't know what kind of defense.
Why wouldn't he call witnesses?
I don't know.
Why would he not call witnesses? That's pretty stupid, isn't it? Maybe because he's guilty?
I have no idea. Like I said, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. I'm sorry.
You only cover stories that kind of fit your narrative?
May I ask what you do for a living?
I'm self-employed.
Doing what?
I own a youth sports business.
Youth sports business. Interesting. How do you choose which sports you're going to cover? Like which sports that you'll deal with in your business, whether, I don't know, whether you supply sporting goods or that type of thing. How do you decide which ones is it only like the big ones?
We only cover one sport.
Oh, how come? Why only the sports that you want to cover? Only the one sport you want to cover? You don't want to cover the other sports?
No, we're not a jack of all trades. We're very good at what we do. We have our niche and we stick to it. We don't try to be everything to everyone.
See, there you go. I can't be everything to everyone. I can't cover every single news story, digest every single piece of news, know everything and the ins and outs and intricacies of every single federal trial that's going on right now that someone may be interested in. So I'm glad you understand that.
Okay, can I ask you a different question then?
Sure.
I'm concerned because we all know back in 2015 that Ted Cruz stole the Iowa caucus from Trump. Are you concerned that, I don't know, DeSantis or Nikki Haley might steal the Iowa caucus results from Trump?
No. By the way, this is you lied when you called in. You lied and said you wanted to talk about Hunter Biden's indictment. And that's not what you're calling in about. So I'm not dealing with you. I don't appreciate people who call in and lie. And try to get me, try to gotcha, you know, not happening. Sorry, Cade. Bye-bye. Enjoy. Have a wonderful Christmas. Steve in Gainesville. Hey, Steve, you are on the Todd Starnes Show. Hello.
Hi, Mary. And it's always a pleasure to hear you sitting in for Todd and hopefully Sebastian soon. Anyway, I am so over people like Ronna McDaniel, Rona, whatever. And the rhinos relying on you great people on talk radio and on various websites doing their job for them. They feel, I believe, that they don't have to raise the issues and do it in a way that's effective and impactful and passionate like you all do because you're doing it for them. These need to, especially Ron McDaniel, needs to earn her paycheck. And they need to create what I'm going to call Voices of the Republic, of which you are already one, and along with Todd and all the people that we know. So they need to join the fray, and the first thing they need to say is, we're Voices of the Republic. We do not live in a democracy. Let's dispel that myth right now. And then they need to speak up about confession by projection, which is what the left has been engaged in a massive way ever since Hillary Clinton became a public figure. She is the queen bee of all of that. And these people confess their own crimes whenever they project those same sins or crimes on their political opponents. I am waiting for even Jim Jordan and James Comer and John Kennedy and the whole collection of them who speak out frequently, but they don't speak out effectively. They don't stand up and demand truth from American Pravda, the big media. They are not mainstream. They are anything but mainstream. They are collusionists in the takedown of our country.
You know, it's interesting. I agree with you. I'm shocked. I can't speak for you, Steve, but I'm shocked that Donald Trump backed Ronna McDaniel. Like, what? I couldn't believe that. So what are you doing that for? And it's one of those things that I disagree with him on. Like I said, I think Trump was a great president. And I think his heart was in the right place during his presidency. I was so shocked by that endorsement of Ronna McDaniel. So I don't agree with everything. But I don't understand what is happening. And as far as them, all right, you said a lot of things. As far as them taking down the, you know, American Pravda and this other stuff, you can't censor, you don't want to be involved in censoring people if you're complaining about being censored, right? So I don't agree with, no, you know, saying that you have to censor MSNBC or the others. What they could have done is during Russian collusion hoax, find out. They need to punish leakers, right? That's what needs to happen. Now I'm seeing that CNN has been told that there's a notebook missing that at the end of Trump's presidency and all that. We need to find out who is leaking the information to these news outlets, to the Washington Post, to the New York Times, to CNN, to MSNBC, etc. And the leakers need to be punished. When James Comey leaked information to a friend who gave it to the New York Times, did it purposely, James Comey was never punished for that. When Alexander Vindman reported on a private call that he was not even on, somebody on that call that the president was on, presidential call, someone on that call leaked that information to Vindman, and then he went to the media with it. Who was it? And why weren't they prosecuted? We need to start prosecuting these people for these crimes, especially when it comes to being in cahoots with the media. That will stop a lot of this, I think.
Mary, am I still on?
You are.
Okay. So I would be happy to nominate you to be one of the media founders of Voices of the Republic, to ramp it up to a level where it's more productive and encourage our elected official public's so-called servants to join in the fray in a way that is more impactful and more visible to the average American who has no clue what you and I and most of the people on the right are actually talking about and trying to achieve, which is to save our country.
Well, Steve, having lived in the Washington, D.C. swamp, as Seb Gorka said, I did leave because it is a terrible, horrible place, and you couldn't pay me enough money to go back and live there. So that's number one. I could never – I just hated Washington, D.C. I don't like the environment. I don't, for the most part, don't like the way it operates. Nothing about it. If the Republicans wanted to hire me to do messaging for them or teach them how to message, I would have them down in front of the deplorable jail, the January 6th jail, on a regular basis, sitting on the sidewalk, out there protesting, because there are people still in that jail almost 4 years later who still haven't had a court date. Why the hell is that? There's so many things they could do. But a lot of them don't want to do it. They don't have the guts to do it. Too many of them are worried about being reelected. So until the Republicans have the fire in their belly to fight and to do it the right way and to do it in a way that will get them the attention, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know what I'm talking about? Steve, we got to run. Have a wonderful Christmas. A happy new year. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And hopefully I'll get to speak to you in the new year. 901-260-5926 is my number. You can also reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. I got some more coming up. And then after the top of the hour, it is Liz Peek joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Chuck, you are outdoing yourself today. I am Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes, 901-260-5926. It is Free for All Friday. If you want to jump in, you are more than welcome to. All right. You could also, as I said, reach out to me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio. Let's go. Let's go back to North Carolina, listening on WSIC, and talk to James. Welcome, James. You're on the Todd Starnes Show. How you doing?
Well, good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. It is Friday. We're getting close to Christmas, so life is good, right?
It is so good to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Go ahead. What did you want to say?
Well, I want to talk about Ron McDaniel and the RNC. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that they're misappropriating funds and contributions that have been given to them. I'm hearing they use a lot of it for, like, lavish parties and maybe, like, gifts and stuff like that. Mm. And they're not using it to support people that we want in, like, Congress. And not, they're not using the money right. That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard anything about that. So until I hear more, until I get some kind of definition, I can't go with that. I will say that once my husband and I donated money to a candidate. We donated to, I want to say, Mitt Romney back in the day when he was running against Obama. Mm-hmm. And it's the only time we've ever donated money to any kind of campaign ever. And they spent more money, Mitt Romney's campaign and the RNC spent more money in sending us mailers asking us for more money than we actually sent them. So I felt it was a profound waste of money. It was ridiculous. I did not think it was a good use of resources whatsoever, and I have never donated a dime since because of that.
Well, I give every once in a while. She'll send me these surveys. They send all, you know, people that vote Republican or conservative. And then sometimes I give. But it's like when I heard this, it's like that's kind of alarming because I can't, listen, I can't verify that now.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going on word of mouth, but I mean, that could very well be happening, but I just can't. That's something I cannot prove myself. But if that, in fact, is what's happening, I think people were trying to oust her, and I don't know if that was the reason for it, but that would be a good reason to have her replaced with somebody else.
It would, but I would take it with a grain of salt. I've not heard anything like that. So okay. I would be very cautious and just take that and put it away in the back of your brain. And if down the road we find out, you know, there's something terrible happening and all this misappropriation of funds and stuff, you could say, ah, I heard that. But otherwise, I would kind of put that aside. I've never heard anything about that. So
okay, well, that's good. I'm glad. So I mean,
yeah,
I'll
make you feel a little better.
You know, like I said, that's nothing I can verify, but you know, I will agree with you. And I'm not going to jump to conclusions or anything.
Yeah. Just because somebody hears it, there's so many conspiracy theories. That's why people believe that the laptop was Russian disinformation, right? And that was being told to them on the news. So, you know, imagine what, you know, when you hear somebody from a guy who heard something from somebody, it gets all messed up down the line. James,
you know,
thank you.
Maybe Donald Trump's got his reasons for supporting her that we don't know about.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
You know, I love, you know, I'm a Trump person. I am. I love Donald Trump, and I hope he wins, and I hope all this stuff gets put behind him, and he can go on with his life and his campaign.
Yeah, I hope so, too, and I think it will. I think they're going to try to bankrupt him is what they're trying to do, and they are hurting him financially.
I agree with that, yes.
Yeah, it is lawfare. James, thank you so much. Have a wonderful Christmas, great New Year, and I'll hopefully get to speak to you in the new year. So enjoy. I hope you get to spend some time with friends and family. Here you go. You want to hear how the crazies have gotten? A new study now is claiming that the gases that we exhale from our lungs, is fueling global warming. Mm-hmm. You are killing me, so stop breathing, please. Methane and nitrous oxide in the air we exhale makes up 0.1% of the greenhouse gas emissions for UK. Now, this study was done in the UK. And that's not accounting for the gas we release, you know, burping and, you know, farting. So, and also gas comes out of our skin, apparently, without us noticing it. And all of that is killing the planet, according to the psychos on the left. So you need to stop breathing because you're literally killing us. Dr. Cowan, an atmospheric physicist at the UK's Centre for Ecology and Hydrology in Edinburgh, says that exhaled human breath can contain small elevated concentrations of methane and nitrous oxide, both of which contribute to global warming. We would urge caution in the assumption that emissions from humans are negligible. This is all part of it. I'm telling you, They want zero birth rate. They want no more humans. They want zero birth rate, right? That's what they want. They just want to redistribute everyone around the planet. No borders. We can all move. We're just free citizens of the planet. And you're going to, there's going to be, everything's going to be electric because, you know, electricity is just made magically by unicorns. When you plug into the wall, it's just unicorn farts behind the wall. And that's where it comes from, right? And that's so there's no fossil fuels. And I don't know, I guess we're all going to run around naked because there'll be no clothing because you can't have anything that requires any kind of fuel. And you can only eat plants and all that kind of stuff. That's what they want. This is what they're going for. We're all going to live in caves again. We're going to have to freeze, no fires, etc. And this is where we are, that you breathing is killing the planet. Mm-hmm. With plants, you know, they use the CO2 we put out there to create oxygen, which is good. It's a very symbiotic relationship, but they focused only on this new study on the methane and the nitrous oxide. Mm-hmm. You want to laugh, though? In Oslo, it's too cold for their electric buses to run, so they can't get anywhere. There you go. I'm Mary Walter. Liz Peek coming up next on the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And happy Friday to you. I am Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Todd is back with you on Monday, and Vivek Ramaswamy will be joining him on Monday as well. It's going to be a show you must not miss. You can reach out to me at Mary Walter Radio. It is free for all Friday. So if you want to jump in, 901-260-5926. My guest now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Liz Peek, the columnist for Fox News and The Hill. You can also find all of her writings on lizpeek.com, P-E-E-K. Follow her on social media at Liz Peek. Liz, always wonderful to talk to you. You're one of my favorite people because this woman knows everything about everything. I'm telling you right now, it's one of the smartest women I know. Hello, Liz.
Hi, thanks for having me. Thanks for that introduction.
Well, it's true. Whenever I'm asked, so what guest do you want? I'm like, you know, general news. I'm like, oh, Liz Peek can talk about everything. So I love having you on. Yeah, the pressure's not on, by the way, at all.
Exactly. Yikes.
You have a very smart article, though, and it's on lizpeek.com, and it's about Elon Musk and what is happening that's not getting a lot of play in the media. And you have an excellent breakdown on what the Biden administration is doing to Elon Musk. It seems that they're picking a fight with him the way they're picking a fight with Donald Trump. They're going after him with the same enthusiasm of which they're going after Donald Trump. What are they doing to Elon Musk and why?
Well, look, first of all, they hate Elon Musk for a whole bunch of reasons. It does not help that he doesn't like union labor. His Tesla factories have always been non-unionized. So imagine when Joe Biden has his first ever convening of EV manufacturers, he doesn't include Tesla, or Elon Musk, which is pretty astounding oversight. It wasn't an oversight. It was quite intentional. But his, you know, he was in the doghouse because everyone else were good union jobs, and Tesla, which literally put EVs on the map. There would not be an EV manufacturing presence in the United States without Tesla, basically was ignored. Okay, so that's one strike against him. But clearly, when he took over Twitter and published the Twitter files, which exposed the White House censoring other and obstinately opposed voices on COVID theories and practices, that made him public enemy number one. And since then, mm-hmm. of course, he has risen to the bait. And any number of times he tweets opposition to Joe Biden, Joe Biden's policies, et cetera, et cetera. So there are a lot of reasons for them going after Elon Musk. But I think it's very revealing, Mary, because remember, Joe Biden was supposed to be this really nice guy in American politics, right? Honest, empathetic, kind of a decent guy. And, you know, I think what's happened, the reason the 2024 election may be very different than 2020 is that people know better. They know that Joe Biden is also a vindictive, I think probably corrupt head of state. He's petty. He's mean. I mean, Axios kind of broke the glass on that one, where they published several months ago a piece about how he screams four-letter words at his aides. Young people are afraid to go see him. Not a nice guy. And so anyway, it is not surprising to me at all that this thin-skinned, vindictive guy has weaponized literally almost every agency of our government to persecute Elon Musk. Elon Musk has sinned against the Biden White House, and he must pay. So we've seen ridiculous things in the past, like they've gone after SpaceX, the National Labor Relations Board, because he hasn't hired enough aliens at SpaceX.
Right.
This is a country, I mean, really, this is a company very wound up in our national security, right? A rocket company, for Pete's sake, a company supplying satellite information to Ukraine in our war effort there. And yet, because he isn't willing to hire people who are not U.S. citizens, he's in hot water. I mean, it's almost unimaginable. The latest on SpaceX and their satellite internet provider, Starlink, is that they were denied funding which had initially been approved and awarded to Starlink, almost $900 million in 2020. And now the FCC has reversed course and said, no, Starlink cannot supply what we want. The idea is they want to broaden rural access to high-speed internet. The only company doing that at scale, as Elon Musk has said, is Starlink. But because it's Elon Musk, they won't give him the money. And I got to say, so there are like, I don't know, 600,000 homes or something involved. If I lived in one of those homes and it took another 5 years to get high-speed internet because they denied Elon Musk this opportunity, I would be really irritated and angry at this government.
But you know what I have to say, Liz? You know, I have my nose in the news a lot. We both, you know, we live and breathe this. Your piece is the first time I've heard of this. So I'm willing to bet that those 600,000 people, those homes, don't know this, don't know why they're not getting it. They don't know it's because Joe Biden is basically an angry old man.
Yeah.
So
I think that's probably fair. You know, look, there's a lot of stuff that's going on at the federal level that people don't know about, Mary, and we won't, and they won't know it. I mean, most people, when they see their electricity bill go up 20%, they don't realize, they can't track that back to stupid-headed climate policies like not allowing natural gas pipelines or not allowing the build-out of the electrical grid, things like that that are common sense adjuncts to going electrical, which is what this administration and all our, you know, blue states want us to do, but they're not going to do the hard work of making it happen. So they're just going to keep raising rates. I mean, it's really offensive. I want to bring up another thing about Musk. Obviously, what people have read about probably is that Tesla had to recall 2 million cars recently. Now, there are a handful of incidents where regulators are saying, oh, the autopilot features in Tesla's have been responsible for these accidents. And in some cases, they were fatalities. So the reality is, almost in every case, you know, the driver paid no attention to the warnings that the car gives you. Keep your hands on the wheel, stay engaged, etc. I mean, it's stupid behavior, reckless behavior. And yes, sometimes it's resulted in an accident. My guess is, and that 2 million car recall was a product of endless investigations of every one of these accidents. And I get that. These are new technologies. That's fine. But you really haven't seen the same intense scrutiny of some other companies like GM that also had a bad accident with one of their auto drivers. I would again argue that this is vindictive punishment of Elon Musk for not towing the line and kneeling before the authority of Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's scary. Fortunately, people like Elon Musk have the ability to basically say what he said when he was asked about people leaving X, advertisers leaving X, right? He has that ability. He has so much money and so many resources that he can say, eh, you know, he can just give them, you know, and I don't think they know what to do. with someone like that, someone like a Trump, who's not going to just bow down to them, who's not just going to stand in front of a judge in Washington, D.C., who's had their life ruined and come from middle America because they happen to be in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, didn't do anything, but the only thing they can do is plead guilty because they don't have any other choice. Elon Musk, Donald Trump have other options. And that's where I think the left is making their mistakes here. And you have another piece out about the Democrats being petrified of Donald Trump and how they're starting to just smear him. And everything is just so hyperbolic. The stuff that I'm seeing come across X is ridiculous. I'm like, oh my God, what is all these things that are going to happen when Donald Trump becomes president? This is going to happen. That's going to happen. He's going to have internment camps all across the country, and he's going to round up illegals and put them in internment camps. Like, you were advocating for internment camps for people who weren't vaccinated, who were American citizens.
Yeah. So right? Joe Scarborough came out and said he was going to assassinate his political rivals. And by the way, I just heard on Bloomberg one of their anchors talking about, oh, Melania Trump said something about immigration today. Oh my gosh, how is the White House going to deal with the fact that, you know, she said something nice about immigration, because Trump's probably going to get in and go back to the Muslim ban. What is wrong with these people? I mean, I do remember in 2016, there were similar, as you say, hysterical projections of what Donald Trump was going to do. He was going to start World War III. He was going to take away women's rights. He was going to deport 11 million people. I actually did a story taking the number of people you can put in a boxcar, and I figured, you know, it was practically a train to the moon and back to put 11 million people out of the country. It was ludicrous. And I wrote a piece about it in 2017, I guess, how, guess what? He didn't do these things. But that'll be the same thing this time. If he's elected, we're all going to look back on all this craziness, which is truly ongoing and just beyond stupid. And remember that, you know, guess what? It didn't happen. In fact, under Trump, we had an extremely safe, prosperous 3.5 years until COVID came along, and then things kind of went south through no fault of his own. But, you know, the reality is we were not at war. Guess what? We're at war now. And we didn't have inflation. We have inflation now. The border was secure. It certainly isn't today. Frankly, Trump nostalgia is on a roll right now, because people know that all these pundits can, you know, flap their arms and try and scare people to death, but people know it was better. And I think that's really why his polling is so extremely strong right now.
So, and then we're running out of time here, but what does Joe Biden run on? And is Joe Biden going to be the candidate? I keep hearing more and more and more Biden's out. They don't want him. Jill Biden's hanging on like on a ledge with her manicured nails in the cement, hanging on there because she doesn't want to leave the White House. But they're dragging him out. They do not want him to be the candidate.
Well, what are they going to do? I mean, unless Joe Biden changes his mind, decides he doesn't want to run, Democrats really can't just chuck him overboard. And then if they do, they've got Kamala Harris. So, I mean, right now, state by state, the opportunity for someone else to get into the race is declining, because you do have to get on the primary ballot, right? So that, you know, those windows are closing. I wrote a piece recently about 1968 and drawing a lot of parallels, because actually we were in a similar situation there. End of March, Lyndon Johnson, the incumbent Democrat president, announced he wasn't going to run because he was unpopular. The Vietnam War was a big deal. And in New Hampshire, the first in the country primary, a no-name Minnesota named Gene McCarthy came out of the woodwork and almost beat him. People were shocked. LBJ was shocked. And all of a sudden, it became clear he could lose. So he stepped out of the race. He declined. And so the race went to the convention. And at the convention, it was a brawl. They ended up nominating Hubert Humphrey, which was the establishment candidate. All the anti-war candidates kind of did each other in. And you had young people protesting. It was a nightmare. I don't know if you remember all the stories, but it was a horrible thing. I think you could see a replay this year. I think it could end up in the convention.
Now, it's going to be very interesting. And I'm just going to have to go to the doctor and get my Valium prescription filled.
Truly.
Either that, or I'm going to weigh about 2 pounds because my stomach's going to be upset from now until the end of next, for the next 365 days. Liz Peek, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure when I get to speak to you. You can check out her webpage, lizpeek.com. Follow her on X at Liz Peek. Have a wonderful Christmas and a great new year.
Merry Christmas to you, Mary. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. 901-260-5926. Free for all Friday and your calls next on the Todd Starnes Show. And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I am Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Did you know that for 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider? And when we say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why Todd is proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. So when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team, yay, makes switching super easy. You get to keep your number, you keep your phone, or you can upgrade because they sell phones too. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Todd. Join Todd and make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. All right, it is Free for All Friday. If you want to join me, 901-260-5926 or send me a message on actually tweet to me. Don't send me a message because I'm not going to get to that. But I can see your tweets at Mary Walter Radio. Let's go to Michelle in North Carolina. Michelle, you're on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome. Happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday to you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. So what's on your mind?
I just wanted to know what you thought about, you know, I was thinking about it and I thought, you know, the government could start charging for inhales and exhales, you know, a fee to inhale, and then they'd have to charge you a fee, of course, for exhaling, you know.
So like a
and
personal...
they could tax it, you know, so I mean, yeah. it would be a win-win for them.
A personal carbon tax. So not it doesn't matter if you have a car, because once they switch everyone to electric, what are they going to do? How are they going to tax your breath, right? Now, for those of you just joining us, what Michelle's referring to is a study that was done in the UK that found that gases in air exhaled from humans contains methane and nitrous oxide. And because of that, we're killing the planet. Just by your mere presence, you're killing the planet. So we're all going to die, which is weird because, it's kind of weird because we're all going to die anyway, right? So,
right.
So I can't find that. But that's interesting. Is this just a way for them to, I know you say it facetiously, but don't give them any ideas. Do you understand what you just did?
Well, you know, I didn't think about it like that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they're monitored.
That
they're listening.
It wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. You know, Todd's on some kind of a list, right?
Oh, I guarantee it.
Todd
did give it a Christmas card after all, you know.
Oh, from did he
White
get a
House?
Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay, see, so he's on a list. So you know that the government's monitoring this show. So now there's somebody somewhere going, this is a great idea. And it's all your
you're
fault,
right.
Michelle. I hope you're happy.
Well, just forget that it was me that did it, okay?
And, the other part of the story is that, you know, of course, we're killing the planet just by being here. But in Oslo, Norway, they have a big fleet of electric buses because they're trying to make their public transportation system completely emission-free. And unfortunately, it's so cold that the batteries run out more quickly and their buses won't run. The electric buses. which I think is hilarious. It's great. Nobody thinks ahead. All right, more of your calls coming up on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. It is Free For All Friday. If you want to jump in, there's still time. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes. 901-260-5926. Or you can tweet at me at Mary Walter Radio. Good time to tell you I do have a podcast. It is available live on YouTube and Getter on Tuesdays starting at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. So it's all Eastern. We go by Eastern Time. And you can get the audio on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You just look for Mary Walter Radio. Now, if you join us live on YouTube or Getter, you can leave comments, you can ask questions, and we will answer those questions or the comments, put them up on the screen, and we will interact with you. Sometimes we have guests like, I don't know, the amazing Grace Baker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Sean Spicer, James Rosen, Cal Thomas, a bunch of, I'm trying to get Todd Starnes on, but he's a very popular man. It's very hard to get a hold of him. And sometimes we don't, and sometimes we talk politics, and sometimes we just talk, you know, fun stuff. So we have a good time with it. I hope you enjoy it. Check it out. Please subscribe to the page on YouTube. Please like it. We appreciate that as well, and hope to see you there. I will be back with you hopefully in the new year here on the Todd Starnes Show. All right, I want to share this with you. Guy Fieri, you know him, celebrity chef, the wacky hair. He has this whole, his empire is called Flavortown. And he told Fox News that he has told his sons, Hunter and Ryder, that if they want success, they have to work for it. He told them, I've told them the same thing my dad told me. My dad says, when I die, you can expect that I'm going to die broke and you're going to be paying for the funeral. And I told my boys, none of this that we've seen, that I've been building, are you going to get unless you come and take it from me. My youngest son, Ryder, is a senior in high school. And he's like, Dad, this is so unfair. I haven't even gone to college yet. And you're already pushing that I've got to get an MBA. Can I just get through college? She's like, no, you're not just automatically getting it. There's no free ride. Buddy Velastro, the cake boss. He told the Daily Mail that he wants his children to earn respect before they partake in the family business. They're not just going to get into the family business. He said, they do live a pampered lifestyle because of the way I live. But the thing is, how do you make them responsible? How do you keep them grounded? So he makes his kids do dirty chores, what he calls dirty chores. So his kids have a lot more respect for the person who does it every single day. He said, the best respect is earned respect. He said, when people meet my kids, a lot of times they're like, they're so down to earth, they're so good. And I take that as me and my wife doing our job and raising them. He said he does want his kids to participate in his business. He says he's excited to see the next generation take over, and he doesn't want to force their involvement. He wants them to bake because they love it. They started helping with the business during the pandemic, and he said it was just really me and the family keeping orders going online. So he makes his kids, in order to keep them humble and to have appreciation for the people who do the dirty jobs, they, all four kids clean their own bathrooms. They clean toilets. They scrub floors. And he has them do things like that. He said, you know what? You have respect for people who work really hard. Good for him. And the last thing is this Hermé heir is giving his $7 billion fortune to his gardener, 51-year-old gardener. Now, he doesn't have any children to give it to. But he's given a $7 billion fortune to his gardener. He's a fifth-generation descendant. But here's the thing. I want to talk about Guy Fieri and Buddy Velastro and what they're doing with their kids. And I'm curious if you have, did you do anything with your kids? You know, and we don't have that kind of money, you know, obviously. But I think a lot of us are very blessed. We worked hard. We have things that we want to pass down to our children and nieces and nephews and grandchildren and to the next generation and to, you know, let them have a benefit a little bit from our hard work. I think that's part of the American dream is to be able to have something of that you worked hard for to give to someone that you feel is worthy, but not entitled, right? And I'm curious, did you make your kids do chores? Like my parents, my dad lost his job. We were poor. we were poor. Now, we never lost the house and we had food, so we weren't that kind of poor. My parents weren't living in their car. So compared to others, we were not poor. But compared to the way we were living when my dad had a job versus when my dad didn't have a job, it was different. I qualified when I was a little kid. I remember bringing home the paper that I qualified for free lunch in school, and my father sat me down and explained that it wasn't free. And I was like in third grade. It wasn't free that, you know, and he named all the other men in the neighborhood, like they have to go to work every day. And then some of that money is taken from them to pay for the lunch for me. And my father said, no, I will pay for your lunch. I remembered powdered milk. I remember my lunch being butter and jelly sandwiches for years. That's what we had, butter and jelly sandwiches. That was it. I remember not being allowed at school to have chocolate milk because it cost more money, right? So in comparison to people who were dirt poor, no, we weren't that poor. But I remember it. And my parents, when my dad started his own business, those were lean years. But then when my dad's business went really, really well, I didn't know that. Because our lifestyle didn't really change. And my parents, we had chores. We had chores. Every Saturday, you got your butt up out of bed and you had chores to do. And in the summer, especially when, you know, our job was school during the school year. But in the summer, my parents like, you want a roof over your head? You want food on the table? How do you think that happens? You have to participate. You have to contribute. So we had to earn what we got. And my parents didn't give us money. There was no going to my father going, hey, Dad, you know, we're going to the movies and we're going to go out. I need 10 bucks. He was like, well, I need 10 bucks too. I'm not giving you $10. It's not happening. You can earn it. You know, in the summer, go get a job. You have to do your chores. And then if you have some free time, go get a job and earn it. So there was very much that. And even when my father's business became successful and my parents' lifestyle changed, I didn't really notice it that much as a kid, though, because they didn't really let on that it changed. It was the same thing. Go earn it. My father didn't just start handing out money. So I have a lot of respect for people like Bill Gates is doing the same thing with his kids. They're not getting his money. I'm curious how you handle it with your children. Are there chores involved if they want money? Or did you have chores if they're grown? Did you have chores? You know, I do know people. I had friends who their kids didn't have chores. I want them to enjoy life with their children. I want them to have a childhood. To me, part of a childhood, though, is learning responsibility. Part of a childhood is learning where these things come from. They don't just get handed to you. That's part of a childhood. You can still have fun. Listen, some of my first jobs, you know, I was so excited to get out and get a job. It's like, oh my gosh, this is great. I finally get to go out and have a job. I was so excited about it. And then I was like, oh, this isn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be. Wow, what a powerful life lesson. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926 is the number. And, you know, those are the things now that my brothers and I, we look back on and we talk about some of the jobs we had when we were younger. You know, my brothers both bus tables at restaurants and stuff. And, you know, we all did like all those minimum wage jobs. I had a job where I was getting less than minimum wage and, you know, I had to subsist on tips and that kind of thing. I made sandwiches. I made subs in a deli down the Jersey Shore for a summer and came home with less money than I went down there with. And it was the year between my freshman and sophomore year in college. And my parents were like, well, somebody's going to have a lean sophomore year because you didn't earn any spending money. And that was a great lesson. You know, I had so much fun, though. But those are life lessons that you talk about when you get older. And I think that they serve a good purpose. So anyway, if you want to chime in, 901-260-5926. I just want to very quickly go back to the Hermé heir. This guy is 80 years old and he is distributing his wealth to his 51-year-old gardener. And he's also going to legally adopt this man. He is planning to pass his wealth to his former gardener and handyman who comes from a modest Moroccan family. He's already initiated the adoption process with the gardener, and he hopes to pass down billions of dollars of the Hermé fortune since he is unmarried and has no children of his own. So the nice thing about that is at least he's not totally screwing his kids over. I think that that's important. He is a fifth generation descendant of Thierry Hermé and stands to pass. I didn't know that the Hermé brand was that old. Fifth generation. Wow. I didn't realize that. and a fifth generation. Okay, he stands to pass down billions. It's currently valued, the Hermé fortune is currently valued over $220 billion. He owns between 5 and 6% of the Hermé fortune, so his net worth is between 10 and 11 billion. He also is going to pass down 5.9 million in properties in Marrakesh, Morocco, and Montreux, Switzerland. Looking at passing on about half of his fortune to this gardener. Crazy, right? Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, coming up, we've got some calls coming in for Free for All Friday. I will get to them next. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show. Hey, welcome back to The Todd Starn Show. All right, if you want to jump in here, now's your time. 901-260-5926. If you would like to jump in and join me here on the Todd Starn Show. Just a couple of things. I got some more good news for you. So we talked earlier in the show, if you missed it, about a memo that came out in 2017. And the ILRJ, I think I had those numbers in the right, but it's the Immigration Law Reform. Anyway, They got the information through Freedom of Information Act, through FOIA request, and they found that this was done, the study was done by Homeland Security. Homeland Security did it. And they found that the border wall, an actual physical wall, is the most effective and cheapest way to keep illegals from coming into the country. That they had to get through a FOIA request in order to get that information. So everything that this current administration is telling you is a lie. They said it was even cheaper. They found it was even cheaper than electronic surveillance. And think about it. All the cartels have to do is take down the electric grid in a certain area, and then the electronic surveillance isn't working. Walk right in, people. Here you go. So it's all a lie. You're being gaslit once again from this administration. They know they're lying to you. So that was a big bit of news. In Chicago, they're starting to get the message. And it's amazing to watch the left wake up when it comes into their neighborhood, right? Chicago, the mayor they voted for is more liberal than Lori Lightfoot. So I truly don't feel sorry for these people. But the suburbs are starting to get the stuff from Chicago now. It eventually leaks out into the suburbs. And the suburbs are usually really liberal, too, because it's all the people who fled what they created in the inner city. And when it gets too dangerous, they flee to the suburbs, right? So two Chicago suburbs now said no more with busloads of illegals. Several buses arrived at Metra stations in Cicero, Illinois, and Rosemont, Illinois. They're near the O'Hare International Airport's remote parking area. Now, the Chicago Tribune reported that Rosemont police allowed the immigrants to get off the bus if there was someone picking them up. But officers threatened to impound the bus and arrest the driver for endangering the passengers if he let them out and there was no one there to pick them up. Because then they're just out in the area. And then the people who live in those towns are expected to do something with them. The Rosemont Village Board planned to consider an ordinance to support the officers' claims. In Cicero, the town approved a measure to fine bus companies $750 per person for letting out homeless immigrants. It's wrong to drop people on the street with nowhere to go. We think every community should do this to prevent this. They need to force the state to come up with a better plan to pay for homeless people. Schaumburg, Illinois, Elk Grove, Illinois, passed ordinances preventing illegal immigrants from being housed in hotels. Elk Grove also passed an ordinance preventing immigrants from residing in the village without a doctor's certification that they don't carry infectious diseases such as malaria and TB. And they have blocked their factories and shopping centers from housing immigrants. They went so far as to buy a hotel that was no longer, you know, taking regular people in, like serving as a regular hotel and serving only as an immigrant hotel. And they demolished it. Oh, man. Wow. All right. Let's quickly go to Connor in Boston, listening on the Mighty 990 app. Connor, you're on the Todd Starn Show. Happy Friday to you.
How you doing, Mary? Happy Friday to you. Huge fan of your show and also, obviously, of the Todd Starn Show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Connor.
Absolutely. You're doing a great job. And, you know, I wanted just to chime in on the whole situation with know, kids in America right now who are just, you know, just a little background on me. I'm on the cusp of a millennial and a Gen Zer. And, you know, I just feel like the kids in my generation, the parents have been lazy.
Yes.
You know, it's just like they don't want to work. They expect everything. They expect a handout for everything. I started, like, when I was, like, 10, 11 years old, I started with a paper route. I worked in retail. I worked at an amusement park, and now I have a good job. But I worked my way up the ladder, and I didn't really have any assistance from my parents in that. But, you know, that's part of the problem we have in this country is we have parents who don't want to parent their children. They don't want to teach them a work ethic, and they don't want to dust off their steel-toed boots when you got lazy kids. And that's what's going to really kind of hurt the workforce and, quite frankly, the electorate for this generation.
I agree with you. I don't blame the kids. I don't blame them at all. I blame their parents. And their parents, I think it's, I guess it's pretty much my generation that raised that generation. And I saw it with some of my friends. They gave their kids everything. You know, mom, dad, I need money for this. I need money for that. And they just handed to them like they were an ATM. And, you know, you keep your mouth shut. You don't say anything. And some of them have kids that are lost. You see that they can't find themselves. They're directionless. And not all of them, of course, some of them are very successful, and that's great. But I think a lot of it had to be done on their own. Like you said, you did. I went out and I did this and I did that. If you don't have that motivation, if you're not given that direction, I think your parents are doing a disservice and making life a lot harder for you than it needs to be.
Yeah, and I just feel like what they're doing is they're teaching you how to be a kid forever instead of being a, you know, a member of society, a citizen, and a taxpayer. Because, again, you know, that's another issue with, you know, with some folks in this pool, you know? So we really need to step up the game with the next generation because, like I said, my generation, you know, there's a lot to be desired there.
Every generation has a lot to be desired. Connor, I appreciate the honest discussion. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Christmas and a great Thanksgiving if you celebrate Christmas. Thanksgiving. Dear Lord. Holy Christmas. You know what? We're almost done here, and it's a good thing. Happy New Year to you, Connor. Thanksgiving. I need a drink, and it's not even, oh boy. But thank you so much. I look at my nieces, and I think the pendulum is swinging the other way. And a part of that is because of my brother and his wife. They did a wonderful job raising them. The kids had to get jobs when they hit 16. He took one thing away from them that they really, really loved. And they knew it was coming that mommy and daddy aren't paying for this anymore, you know, whatever it happened to be. And they knew they were going to have to get a job to pay for it. But they all agree now when they look at their friends at the time, you know, they grumbled and moaned and didn't like it. But when they look at their friends now, they think that their parents did them a solid because they're prepared for life. You know, they all went to college, got good grades, you know, really smart kids, really studied hard. And every single one of them launched. Every single one of them had a job before they graduated college. They had job offers because they work really hard. They're a good kid, you know, like they knew where the emphasis was. They still had fun and joined sororities and did all that kind of stuff. But they still had fun. Thank you so much to everyone for joining me. Thank you to Todd. Big thank you to Todd and to Grace and all the guys here. I think there's an Alan and there's a couple Phils. But thank you, everyone. Chuck, thank you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm Mary Walter. Thanks for listening.
Every day, my company gets scam phishing emails trying to get money or sensitive info. I wanted to protect my employees and my clients, so I checked out CISA's Secure Our World. They've got simple ways we can protect our businesses from online threats. First, teach employees to recognize and report phishing. Next, require strong passwords plus multi-factor authentication. And finally, turn on automatic updates for your business software. To learn more, go to CISA at cisa.gov/secureourworld.